WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Your parents may have nagged you to speak correctly. Your teachers may have drilled you on making your O's rounder. But linguist Jeffrey Nunberg says you can relax.
One of the most engaging books about language in the past year was Robert McNeil's Wordstruck. It's a memoir about the beginnings of McNeil's infatuation with the English language when he was growing up in the 30s and 40s on Nova Scotia as the son of shabby, genteel parents with a bookish bent. One poignant recollection involved McNeil's mother's insistence that her children speak with clear diction. He tells it this way. "Enunciate your vowels," she was always saying, "enunciate your vowels," in the way her father, Dr. Oxner, the dentist, said, "masticate your food, masticate your food," and his wife, Daisy Oxner, would ask dramatically, "Have you moved your bowels?" These admonitions all took on the same moral coloring to me and played like mantras through my early years. Have you moved your bowels? Masticate your food? Enunciate your vowels? I read this and thought, oh yeah, that's my father to a T. Not that my father had a lot else in common with a Halifax schoolteacher. He was a New York businessman, the son of immigrants. But like McNeil's mother, he clung to diction like a raft that would keep him afloat above the plebeian tide. The only difference was that McNeil was a more dutiful son than I. He wound up with diction crisp as Canadian bacon, whereas I was a rebellious child and became a chronic mumbler, condemned to go through life with, I beg your pardon, and how's that again, trailing in my wake. Not long ago, at the urging of Ed Koch, the New York City schools announced a program aimed at eradicating the slovenly speech habits of the city's pupils. Posters would be hung in the schools identifying 20 common speech demons, as they were called, things like, I'll meet you at the corner, rather than I'll meet you at the corner. Now, given the scope of the problems in the New York City schools, this might strike you as a low-priority concern, all the more since this particular enterprise is sublimely futile. Even so, diction has always been a cardinal virtue in the psyche of the North American middle class. Enunciation may not be next to godliness, but it's close. From dropping syllables, it seems only a short step to bad personal habits, incivility, even doubtful political opinions. Just after the First World War, hundreds of thousands of schoolchildren were made to recite a linguistic pledge of allegiance promulgated by a group called the American Speech Committee. It began, I love the United States of America, I love my country's flag, I love my country's language. I promise that I will not dishonor my country's speech by leaving off the last syllable of words, that I will say a good American yes and no in place of an Indian grunt, uh-huh, or a foreign ya or yeah or nope. That I will do my best to improve American speech by avoiding loud, rough tones, by enunciating distinctly, and by speaking pleasantly, clearly, and sincerely. To see the irony of all this, you don't even have to change the channel. Just leave the set on PBS after the McNeil-Lehrer report goes off and wait for William F. Buckley's firing line. Buckley's upper-class accent shows nothing but disdain for middle-class fastidiousness about enunciation. It has different names in different cities. In Philadelphia, it's sometimes called the mainline malocclusion. In New York, it's Locust Valley Lockjaw. But the basic accent is the same throughout the East, the clenched teeth drawl you can hear from Buckley or George Plimpton, the accent that Jim Backus parodied on Gilligan's Island. When working-class children slur their speech that way, it's taken as a sign of laziness, or worse. But in the mouths of upper-class children, it means something else. It shows that they've learned the important lesson that whatever one does, one mustn't sound as if one were trying too hard.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.